Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Dr. Deirdre Lundy has been in this studio before speaking to me about the menopause. She's a GP and an expert in women's health, and you will have heard her giving advice to so many women on Liveline when they told their stories about menopause over an extraordinary few days and what they were going through. Well, Deirdre is back with a book, and it's called Menopause, The Essential Guide to Managing Your Health in Midlife, published by Penguin Sandy Cove. Deirdre, you're very welcome back.
Thank you so much. When I feel like a frequent flyer in the studio.
That's great. We're delighted that you are. The book, did it come from that moment, that movement, mm-hmm. really, you know, on the radio, yep. and just stemming from there, let's get this down and on paper?
That week, that marathon of discussion around menopause really sort of lit a flame. And that's all down to Sally Ann Brady, who I was just with this morning, who runs a support group free of charge for people who are struggling with menopause. And she and her followers wrote in to a lot of media and said, why are these needs not being met in healthcare? Why is there so much ignorance around that? But I couldn't believe the amount of play that it got and the you know, continuation of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Just women who wanted to talk about this.
Just so much.
And men.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then because I got involved and I ended up coming into the studio at that time, I started to get emails from everybody saying, would you like to do a book? Would you like to do this? And I was working, so I was like, no, thank you. I got a job. But then Carl Henry, do you know Carl Henry?
He's a lovely chap. Yes, the trainer, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I heard you turned Penguin down for books. You have to do this.
He got onto your case.
Yeah. So Carl Henry made me do this.
He convinced you to do it. And you're glad now that you put pen
so
to paper.
I am so thrilled, yeah.
And tell me who the book is aimed at. Is it aimed solely at women who are at this stage of their lives?
Well, it could be for anybody insofar as it's a bit of a deep dive. Like, we were fighting a lot, me, Patricia and Rachel, they're the team in Sandy Cove, you know, Penguin, that they didn't want it to be sciencey like a textbook because, you know, but also they wanted it to be I wanted it to be accurate, that like your nurse or your doctor could dip in there and say, oh, is that why we have to do that?
Yeah, well, one of the problems you identified is that in some cases the medical profession don't really get it. Yeah. That's what I got from your book. And we've heard that a lot as well, that people go in and say, I feel like this, and they end up being prescribed something or given some
antidepressants
advice.
Exactly. You know, not that they're not often needed in some cases, but like, you know, and it's not that complicated. I don't think it is. I was a terrible student. Like, I had to repeat Zecomed. You know, this is not, you don't have to be a genius to understand how to care for menopausal women, but you do have to read. And I tried to make this a one-stop shop for both providers of healthcare and recipients of healthcare, that, you know, everything is in simple word, easily understood explanation.
And you do the science bits and you do those explanations in there. But when we talk about the medical profession at times not understanding what they need to do, mm-hmm. you weren't a very good doctor for yourself
when you
were going through this.
Yeah, because I didn't have really bad flushes or sweats, and I didn't really notice any other physical symptoms. I just got terrible anxiety. And it was during one of those recessions in the 90s, you know, it's so many. And I couldn't really, I was thinking, well, of course I'm anxious because all the crap that's going on in the country and in my life and all the rest of it. But it was only after like a good couple of, like 2 years of struggling and exploring that I finally realized it wasn't all menopause, but a lot of it was menopause.
A friend of mine explained recently to me about how she was driving home from work every day feeling really anxious and feeling like, you know, she almost wanted to pull at her clothes. She was so worried about something. And all she was going home to do was maybe put a wash on and make dinner.
I know.
And then suddenly it makes sense when you think, this is connected to something that's happening to me in my body and I need to get help.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, it's multifactorial. I mean, it's quite possible that had my hormonal situation been happening, but everything else in my life was like running like a clockwork, you know, whatever, maybe I wouldn't have been as impacted. But when you're struggling with outside stressors and you're going through hormonal upheaval at the same time, it's a straw too much for the camel's back.
Yeah.
You know?
And this the time and the menopause, the perimenopause, it can happen in women's lives when you're really busy.
Oh my God.
You've got pressures coming from all sides.
Oh yeah.
And timing isn't great.
A lot of people are delaying starting their families. Those of us who choose to have kids or are allowed to have kids, gifted to have kids, later. So like now your kids are still kind of young and you're starting the perimenopause. And the weird thing about the perimenopause is it can be sporadic. So you can have episodes, months or weeks during which you're just blown away. You're so unwell. Then you'll recover and you think, did I imagine all of that? Was I losing it for a while? And then it comes back and it comes back. Mm-hmm. So it's the uncertainty of that journey is part of the difficulty. Yeah.
You better tell us now that we've said the science stuff is in there. What is perimenopause?
Okay, so there was this concept amongst doctors that if a person was still getting periods, whatever was happening in their life couldn't be related to their sex hormones, to their menopause hormones, because they were still, if you're cycling, you have hormones. And we're trying to say to people, yeah, you have hormones, but they're going nuts. That's perimenopause, when your hormones are misbehaving, but they're still functioning at least to a certain capacity that they can kick out a period from time to time. So that's perimenopause.
Okay. And then menopause is when
no periods.
Things stop.
Yeah.
And you're at pains to point out in the book, if you have reached menopause, and if you have bleeding at some point after that, you need to get
help. So if a person goes on hormones and they start to get periods again, having not had them for quite some time, in the beginning, we kind of nearly ignore that. We don't ignore it, but you know what I mean? It's not a big deal because the new hormones will jizz things up in there and often bring on a bleed. But if you're not on any kind of HRT products and you haven't had a period in, say, 5 or 10 years and you're now 55 or something and you start bleeding, we basically consider that to be cancer unless we prove it otherwise. So that gets urgent assessment in a gynae service. Okay. You always want to see someone straight away. Oh, it's a huge red flag.
Important to say as well that some people get through perimenopause and menopause and they're fine.
Most people, I would say most people do, to be honest with you. It's just I don't meet them.
You meet the problem side of things.
Yeah, so like I'm here in the other end of the story. But most people do very well and don't feel you're missing out. Don't feel like, oh, did I like miss something or should I be on hormones?
Be happy.
Be delighted for yourself, absolutely.
Do you find since the conversation has started around menopause that people are now not waiting the 2 years like you did perhaps?
I'd hope so. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I would like to think that. But again, it's a bit of a roll of the dice when you do finally decide, okay, I'm going to take action and you make that appointment. Are you going to get knowledgeable, well-informed information or are you going to be, yeah, well, everyone's struggling, young kids, busy job, you know.
See, that's the problem with it, isn't it? It is hard to diagnose. And isn't it only through talking that you diagnose?
Which is the challenge. You know, if there was a lovely little blood test.
Or a saliva test. Don't they sell those on the internet?
Absolute chicanery. Like, no. Don't never pay no money for saliva tests, girls. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of exploitation out there. And that is a big one. But mostly it's about talking and then trial and error. Like, very few symptoms that are related to the menopause won't in some way improve if you tried experimental 6-8 weeks of something. So sometimes when the diagnosis is unclear, I might actually do an empirical, as they call it, like guessing diagnosis. Try this, see how you feel. And if it doesn't make a drop of a difference, well, maybe we'll go in another direction. Mm-hmm. You know? But if you come back to me 2 months, 3 months later saying, oh, my God, my life is back on track. There's your diagnosis.
I know you're a fan of HRT. Mm. It's not for everybody, and you make that clear. But when we hear about experimenting with HRT. If that one doesn't work, try another one. Can you explain to me what it looks like when it doesn't work?
Okay, so for 75% of people, menopause is characterized by what they call vasomotor symptoms, which is flushing and sweating, which while a very trivial sounding problem is actually really undermining because you can't sleep at night if you're woken 10 times dripping wet with sweat and perspiration and stuff. So estrogen is the core hormone of the female body, and it's also the core hormone of HRT. And estrogen gets rid of most, but not all of those sweats, usually pretty quickly. So it's easy enough when you have a physical symptom like that. It's so, am I getting severe sweating? Am I not? If I'm not, I'm fixed. With things like mood, quality of life, you know, someone says, I feel great, all those other problems are better, but I just don't have that same energy I once had. Mm-hmm. I'm like, honey, you need cocaine. I don't have. Estrogen is
which
not
is illegal, Deirdre.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not magic. Mm-hmm. It's just giving you balance. It's putting your body back in a kind of a steady stream, an even keel. is what I would say.
So when you prescribe HRT and people say, I've noticed this and I like this part of how it's making me feel.
Yeah.
What are the things that they don't like about HRT?
Well, the estrogen generally is very well tolerated now. There are a lot of people who are told you mustn't have it because you've had like a breast cancer with hormone receptors on it. Even breast cancers without hormone receptors, oncologists will say run a mile from HRT with good reason.
Yeah.
So you have to be very circumspect with those people. The estrogen is usually really well tolerated. The problem is normally the progestogen. So if a woman has a womb and you feed her estrogen, it'll make her bleed more. So you have to balance that with progestogen. And progestogen is the hormone of PMS.
Oh,
so it is hard to sometimes get a tolerability going with the progestogen. But that's the magic. It's witchcraft. We know what we're doing.
And the meno belly, the weight gain that women have, some women when they get to perimenopause and menopause, HRT is not going to help with
absolutely
that, is
it? Absolutely not. So there is no
typical
weight loss. If there was, believe you me, I'd have known about it, you know. So
what's
yeah
your advice on that front, though? Because that can be really distressing for so many people.
If you've been living with overweight obesity your whole life, as I have been, hormone upheaval is not going to do you any favors. And chances are you're going to get even heavier going through the menopause. Not necessarily, but it can happen. You need to reach out to healthcare because we are now looking upon overweight obesity as a chronic disease, not a lifestyle choice. And there are amazing therapies out there. I won't name them because I'll get in trouble again. But as a personal user and fan of them, you talk to your doctor about getting a handle on your appetite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when it comes to menopause, is there any specific advice on managing weight, or is it the usual stuff that
it's
about?
No, it's just your metabolic rate starts to down. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, they think you're some old native Alaskan lady going to be pushed out on an ice floe soon. So you have to retain as much fat as possible for the long, hard winter. Like it's absolutely...
That's what your body thinks.
It's biological. Your body is trying to retain calories as much as it can do. So it's just about calorie deficit, which is the hardest part for someone like myself who likes to eat.
Yeah, most people like
I
to
do
eat,
like
you know,
to eat,
and it
yeah
should be allowed, yeah, more of that kind of thing. Deirdre, thank you so much for coming
My
in.
Pleasure.
The book is called The Menopause, The Essential Guide to Managing Your Health in Midlife by Dr. Deirdre Lundy, and it's published by Penguin Sandy Cove. Thanks so much and the best
pleasure
of luck, Deirdre. Now, in the past couple of minutes, the PSNI have held a press conference following last night's shooting in Omagh, which left off-duty PSNI officer John Caldwell in a critical but stable condition in hospital. The Chief Constable Simon Byrne and Assistant Chief Constable Mark McEwen confirmed three men have been arrested now in connection with the attempted murder of John Caldwell.
He's had surgery overnight and he remains in a critical condition. I would also like to confirm that in this fast-paced investigation, this morning we have arrested three men aged 38, 45 and 47 in Omagh and Coal Island in connection with John's attempted murder. They are currently being questioned by detectives at Musgrave Serious Crimes Suite. Thank you.
It's the Chief Constable of the PSNI, Simon Byrne, speaking about what they describe as the attempted murder of John Caldwell. And you can listen back to all of our shows and all of the items on this show on the RTE Radio app, or you'll find us at rte.ie/podcast. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. The programme was produced by the series producer Alistair McConnell, research was by Emma Cawley. Today, our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr-Ross. Liam Mullen was on sound, and it's over now to Louise.